This morning, I'd like to talk for a few minutes about Jesus, the model of a leader. I'm thinking about this topic today for a couple of reasons. Our congregation has time set aside in the near future for the church to give consideration to appointing new officers within the body. This is certainly something that we as members of the local body need to always be giving consideration to, but certainly even more so at this time, as that activity is coming up. Let us examine Jesus as a leader while we contemplate the leadership qualifications of our brothers and sisters while examining our body. This is certainly also an important topic for me to give consideration to as an earthly father, because it is so important for me to be a good leader within my family as well as out in the world, to help lead others to Christ with my example and leadership. While Jesus was never a father figure to children in this life on earth, in his life on earth, we can all agree, I'm sure, that if we applied the leadership style of Jesus to our roles as fathers and leaders, to our lives, we would be much more successful than otherwise. I thank Blake for his comments this morning, talking about Jesus' compassion. That's certainly something that plays into his role as a leader. Compassion isn't one of the qualifications or the characteristics we're going to talk about, but it certainly impacts most, if not all, the characteristics that Christ exhibited in his leadership on this earth. His compassion for his fellow man is why he did the things that he did. So in talking about the topic of Jesus as a leader, we will examine some specific examples and characteristics of Christ that show us his leadership. Above all else, the one glaring characteristic that comes out in the Word of God relating to Jesus' leadership, compassion being one of them, another thing is his moderate, temperate, deliberate style. He always seemed to be in control. He never seemed to be rattled. He always kept his head on his shoulders. He was always moderate, temperate, and deliberate. This is apparent in probably every story that we can read about involving Christ, especially in all of his dealings with the Pharisees and the scribes that we read about so often throughout the four Gospels. The first characteristic we want to talk about in speaking of the leadership of Christ is having a vision, having a purpose. Jesus Christ had one vision, one purpose throughout his life. That was to do the will of his Father. That was to do what his Father sent him to this earth to do. His only goals throughout his life on earth were the goals of his Father. He tells us his goal during his earthly life in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And also he speaks of his goals, his vision, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 38. But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Christ's goal on this earth was to teach the world, to save those who would follow God. Christ spent his life on this earth accomplishing all these goals and much more. And when Jesus' life on this earth was over, he had finished the work that our Father had given him to do, as we can read about in John chapter 17 and verse 4. "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." And also in verse 6, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." There is not just one example of Jesus' vision throughout his life. His entire life was the fulfilling of the vision that God had planned for his Son. This vision was often foretold throughout the Old and the New Testament prophecies that concerned Jesus in his life. As we can see over in Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 33. Luke 18, 31 through 33. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." Jesus knew his purpose, his vision very well, and always strove to fulfill it. In fact, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he had completed everything he was going to do on earth while he walked on this earth. So from these examples of Christ, we can take upon ourselves as leaders a vision, a purpose in our lives. Our vision would be much the same as Christ's, if not perhaps on a smaller scale than his. Our personal visions for our families need to be much as Joshua tells us in Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is our vision, our purpose in our lives as fathers, as leaders. Our vision as fathers needs to be such as this. Our vision as leaders in the world and the church needs to be as Jesus' vision was, to save the lost, to bring the lost sheep back to the Father. So we must model ourselves after Jesus' leaders on this earth, and throughout all of our endeavors, keep our visions, our goals, always in the forefronts of our minds. A leader needs to speak from authority. Of course, this may have seemed easy for Jesus to accomplish, because he was authority. He is authority. Anything he said was authority. We do not, of course, have the same authority as Christ, but we can certainly speak from the same authority as Christ did. Our authority comes from the Word of God. Christ spoke from his authority at all times. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Jesus' authority existed over all things, as we see in Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. "So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Christ even had authority over the elements, authority over Mother Nature. And also in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" Christ has been given all power over things in heaven and over things on earth. His power, his authority, comes from his Father, our Father. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 22, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." And also verse 27 of Mark 1, "Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" Jesus had authority over the heavens and the earth, even over the unclean spirits. Jesus has authority even over the devil and his minions. Like I said, while we don't have the same authority as God and Jesus do, we can certainly speak from the authority of God and Jesus, as long as we speak from the Word of God. Speak utilizing the Word of God as our standard, we will be speaking with the same authority as Jesus Christ did while he was on this earth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, a scripture we all know well. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." As we know, everything that we have in God's word has a benefit, has a purpose. As long as we speak from that word, we will be speaking from its authority. All that he spoke was from the will of his Father. We also have certain roles as leaders upon this earth where we are given authority over those in subjection to us. As we perform these roles, Let us do so without abusing the authority which the Lord has given to us. A leader needs to always train others to replace themselves. Much like the mantra of our country, parents are always striving to leave their children in a better place than they themselves were in. We all want our children to be better, to be better off than we were. As a leader, we should always be striving to teach the next generation to lead, and to lead even more effectively than we were able to. We are all mortal men. The problem with that is the obvious, that we will not always be able to be the leaders. Jesus, the Son of Man, was in the same circumstances. He also, of course, was a mortal man, unable to live in this earthly body forever. So because of this, Jesus spent his time training men to become the leaders of the early church and beyond. His goal in picking the 12 apostles was for them to bring the lost to salvation and to lead the fledgling church when Christ was no longer with them. Christ spent his entire ministry training the apostles for their mission. We see the importance of a leader training his successors when we think about the sheer amount of time that Jesus spent with his apostles. Over in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, when Christ is preparing to leave the 11 apostles at this time, and the commission that he gives to them, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We see here that Jesus, after spending the last three years of his life training these 11 apostles, is now passing on the mantle to these men to continue the teachings that he has so faithfully imparted upon them. Also over in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, Christ was speaking to Peter. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus charged Simon Peter here that upon the teachings of his and the other apostles, the church would be established. And he had trained them, Christ had trained these men well enough that he was confident enough to turn over the establishment of the church to them. We as leaders within our families, within our communities, and within the church must also train up those who are within our charge so that they may in turn become the next leaders when our times have passed. This should always be a part of our dealings with others around us, performing our leadership duties in a manner that would please God and give those others the opportunity to become more effective leaders for God tomorrow. A leader is always willing to instruct and then to forgive. I thank Grandpa for reading John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. We'll talk about that for a moment here. Christ set an excellent example of this attribute there in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. "Let him who was without sin," in verse 7, "cast the first stone." We saw here that the scribes and the Pharisees that we've mentioned a time or two have brought this woman that had been caught in adultery before Christ to accuse her. And Christ didn't say much. That's about the only thing we have recorded here that he did say. He thought, he sat down on the ground, and he took some time to think, to gather his thoughts. And then he stood up and he said, "Let him who was without sin cast the first stone." Christ instructed all who were present on the art of forgiveness with those simple words. Christ spent his earthly life with the sinners, instructing them, forgiving them, and doing it again and again. I'm sure often with the same sinners over and over again. Christ wants all to repent and to be saved. Christ was constantly being questioned, put on the spot by these scribes and Pharisees, in an attempt to catch Jesus doing something wrong. Jesus, rather than throw up his hands in frustration, knowing that he would never be able to convince them otherwise, was always patient with these people, always willing to further instruct them, hoping to one day prick their ears and their hearts, finally realizing the errors of their ways. As we know over in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, we read, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Jesus teaches us to forgive not up to 7 times, but many more than that, to constantly forgive, to continue to forgive, instruct and forgive. Jesus asked his Father to forgive those who had crucified him, for they didn't realize what they were doing. A leader forgives and moves forward with others. He does not seek the demise of any. He does not wish to harm those who would do him harm. He wants the ultimate reward for all. We as parents and leaders should act in the same manner. We are certainly willing to do this with our own children when they are small, when they are young. It seems we have to constantly give them the same instructions over and over again. I'm sure that's exactly how God and Christ must feel about all of us, even as adults, in certain areas of our lives. They feel like they're constantly giving us the same instruction over and over again. Much as our earthly parents chuckle at us as we raise children and become exasperated at our children for just not getting it, God must be chuckling at each of us from time to time for just not getting it too. So we must continue to instruct and forgive. We must be willing to instruct our children and others around us in the world in a soft, gentle, patient, and loving manner, as Christ always seemed to do for us and for those he was with. And then after giving the instruction, forgive them and pray that they understand God's instructions for them. A leader gets advice before acting. Christ did not necessarily need advice because he was God on earth and he knew the will of his Father. But it is interesting to note how often he went to his Father in prayer and spent time in meditation away from the crowds. If Christ needed the time to take to spend talking with his Father, then certainly we do even more so. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened." Jesus praying to his Father upon his baptism. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." And also in Mark chapter 6 and verse 46. "And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray," when he had sent the multitudes away. And certainly while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal, we know he went off by himself at least 3 different times to pray to God, to pray to his Father. So we know that Christ spent much time in conversation with his Father when he would need to get away from those multitudes that seemed to always be with him. He would often leave at these times and spend some time alone in meditation and speaking with his Father, his advisor, if you will. We also, if we want to be the best leaders possible, need to spend time in meditation, reading God's Word, certainly, and in speaking with our advisors. As spouses, we must spend much time in discussion of how to handle certain situations with our children before we come to decisions on how to handle those situations. In all areas of our lives, especially in areas where we are leading others, because others are then involved in the consequences of our decisions, we must spend time with our Father in prayer, and we must spend time in the Word of God seeking out the answers for these situations before we make decisions on how we should handle those situations. A leader must be an encourager. Jesus was a great encourager. I don't know that he ever did anything that was not encouraging to those around him. Certainly the story we talked about in John chapter 8 of the woman who was living, having committed adultery, was living in sin. Christ was encouraging to her as he told her to go and sin no more. He showed her with his statement that she was not the only one living in sin, that all those around her were living in sin. Nobody could cast a stone at her because none of them were sinless. So she saw that she was not alone in her problems, that she had others like her. He encouraged her at this time. So part of the encouraging is in the instruction and forgiveness of others. If others see us as condemning of them, then they will certainly not be able to be encouraged by us. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. This is Christ speaking to his apostles. John 14, 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Christ, in the previous chapter, had just finished telling the apostles that he would not be with them any longer. He was soon to die. And rather than being focused on his problems, he's the one that had the problem here. He was focused on encouraging his apostles, that he was going to prepare a place for them. In his Father's house, he was going to prepare a place for them, and he would come back and welcome them to his Father's house at a later time. Rather than bemoaning his impending suffering, he was spending his time encouraging his apostles. A leader worries about those who depend on him rather than himself. By doing so, he can be an encourager to them, and most likely even encouraging himself at the same time by not focusing on the negatives. In fact, Christ continues on throughout the entire 14th chapter of John, encouraging his apostles in various ways, rather than worrying about himself and the events that were forthcoming. This is one area I've always been extremely impressed by our group here at Smart Road. In my approximate 9 years as a member of this congregation, I have been encouraged numberless times by a vast assortment of people. Most people here have encouraged me from time to time. We have a most encouraging group as a whole. And this is certainly a signal of the leadership that we have within our group, individual leaders throughout our group here. Certainly, anyone who has been a parent realizes the importance of encouraging our children throughout their growth. Without encouragement, our children will not develop into the people that they can be. As adults, we sometimes seem to forget how important encouragement can be to our continued development. When we are adults, I fear that our growth patterns can slow and sometimes stop almost entirely unless we have that continued encouragement from others. I know that those who are in authority within the body realize the importance of encouraging the flock. As I stated before, they would most likely attest to the fact that the flock will probably lack growth without the encouragement that comes from the leaders, the individual leaders within the group. Our last characteristic we're going to talk about as we prepare to close, a leader has integrity. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been the same. He's the same now. He'll always be the same. There was never any change in Jesus. As I stated in the beginning, Jesus was always moderate. He was always temperate. He was always deliberate. He always seemed to be in control no matter what was going on around him. He never seemed to be rattled by even the scribes and the Pharisees and the things they tried to trick him into. He always kept his head on his shoulders, kept his wits about him. In every story about Jesus talking with the scribes and the Pharisees, he has the same tenor, the same demeanor, the same manner of instructing them. He never lost his temper, no matter how well he knew that they were really not looking for the truth. They were only looking to bait him into making some kind of mistake, trying to trick him into doing something against the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. Jesus was alone in the desert, just he and the devil, just he and Satan. Why couldn't he give in to the temptations of the devil? No one would ever know. It would just be his word against Satan's. Who would believe the devil when he was speaking against Jesus Christ? He hadn't eaten in 40 days. Who would know that his first meal was provided by Satan? Jesus could have come up with any number of excuses to justify giving in to the temptations which Satan placed before him. And even if he couldn't, as we already stated, who would know? If it wasn't written in the Word, nobody would know. It's just Jesus' word against Satan's. And who's going to believe Satan? Well, the one thing that Jesus would have had to sacrifice in order to give in to Satan is the one thing that he would never sacrifice, his integrity. Jesus always did what was right. He always did the will of his Father and anything and everything he did. He always had his integrity. He prayed to his Father on the night of his betrayal, asking if the cup could be taken away from him. But even with the pain and the anguish that he knew he was bound to suffer, his integrity won out. Jesus Christ would do the will of his Father until the last. He would never sin. He would always live his life according to the plan that his Father had laid out for him. He would end his life on this earth with the same perfect integrity that he always lived his life. In Matthew 26:39, speaking of asking the cup to pass from him, it says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. A leader always does the will of his leader. Jesus did not really want to die the death on the cross, but he was willing to do so because it was the will of his Father. Jesus praying to his Father in Gethsemane wished for the cup to pass from him, but more so, he wished to and wanted and did the will of his Father. Of course, none of us will ever be able to get through this entire life with the perfect level of integrity such as Christ was able to accomplish. But we should always be striving for that same level of integrity as we can read about throughout the four Gospels, throughout the life of Jesus. We should always be striving to live our lives the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to the principles that God has given to this world, to us in his word. A leader is known for their integrity as much as anything. Any person that we look to follow is generally endowed with a certain level of integrity. If we don't have some idea of how they're going to react to whatever may come into their pathway, we are not going to be as apt to follow them. If they do not have some standard, in the case of our thoughts this morning, and of our lives, a Christian standard, upon which they are basing their leadership on, then we are not going to be as apt to follow them with faith that they are leading us down the correct path. So as we finish up our thoughts this morning, let us continue to give consideration to the model of leadership that Jesus Christ has shown to us in his life on this earth. Let us strive to perfect our leadership, and let us strive to do so based on the model shown by the only perfect man who has ever lived. Let us have a godly vision. Let us speak from the authority of God. Let us train up the next generation of leaders, because we will not be here for long. Let us be willing to give godly instruction and forgive. Let us go to our Father for advice. Let us always be encouraging. And let us never sacrifice our integrity for anything, just as Christ did not. Effective Christian leadership is vitally important for the furthering of the church. Jesus Christ was the greatest leader to ever live on this earth. If the examples of his life, sacrifice, and death upon the cross is leading you to him, we want to offer you the opportunity at this time to continue to follow or to begin to follow Christ, and you are welcome to come forward as we stand up and sing a song of invitation.